Letting go of every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to win this war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight. No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust, I will trust, I will trust in you. Truth is, you know what tomorrow brings. It's not a day yet you have not seen. So in all things be my life and bread. I want what you want, Lord, and nothing less. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could.
Evening, Namibia, and a warm welcome to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Of course, it's that time of Saturday from 1900 hours up to 2100 hours. Life Lessons is the time we come and tell you about a topic or an insight, something about life, lessons that we can take from life itself. And it's about that time now. So I'm your host, Nafa Happy Juju, here to keep you company this time around on this beautiful Saturday. I hope you all are having a wonderful Saturday, enjoying yourselves and perhaps just taking time off from your busy schedule and relaxing. Nonetheless, this is Life Lessons. It's a show, of course, where we discuss about life issues. And I always say, whether it's negative, we take those negative stories and learn from them so that we can avoid the consequences and the negativity that comes with those negative stories. And then if it's positive, well, we'll still take it and learn lessons from them. Perhaps if we get encouraged and motivated to go into doing good ourselves, ourselves as well, so that we can be really motivated. I mean, nowadays there's so much going on, especially when you are a young adult or perhaps a teenager transitioning from school, or perhaps even in school and have transitioned from school now heading into university. You realize a whole different vibe. Perhaps you've moved just recently to the city, to the capital city, and all that. But nonetheless, this is Life Lessons, the show where we keep you company and get conversations going. As always, we bring you conversations. So nonetheless, let's get right into it. But before we do that, please do stay tuned. We're taking a short commercial break. We'll be back shortly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Oshafafana nongeshefa ili nehola mo ihoetike kovano hile koshuala Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evitote.
Welcome back. And as I told you, we bring you interesting conversations. Now tonight we're talking about breaking negative habits. You might be wondering what that is all about. Please do stay tuned to find out. Now I'm joined in studio by Mr. Ndawanifa Jeremiah Dongeni Sheni. Interesting name right there. He is the founder of Sober Minds Namibia. A very good evening to you, Mr. Jeremiah, and welcome to Life Lessons.
Yes, good evening, everyone. So, yeah, my name is Mr. Jeremiah, as my name has been mentioned earlier. So I am the founder of the Sober Minds in Namibia initiative. Yeah, so here we came also to share our organization's objective, and also to highlight some of the steps towards a sober life, and why do we have to focus on sober life?
Yeah. Okay. Now, before we get into it, I always like to find out who are we speaking to? Who are we dealing with? Who do I have in studio with me? But I take it we have a guest. You've brought a guest along. So let's find out who she is as well.
So with me here is one of my board. Maybe she can also introduce herself. She's one of my board that I'm working with, so because I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
So, can you please introduce yourself?
Okay. Good evening, listeners. My name is... evening, listeners. My name is Emilia Janis. I am a part of the Sober Minds Namibia. I'm just a casual person that's just very interested in Sober Minds. So, yeah. I'm glad to be here and hope you guys will join us and also further on be part of us in Sober Minds as we go on.
Nice. Pleasure to have you guys. And of course, I also have with me Mr. Andreas Kashindi.
Yeah. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Okay, now let's get right into understanding a sober mind. What is a sober mind? And what are we talking about when it's when we're referring to sober minds? Where did the initiative start? How did you just come up with it? Perhaps you just had a dream one day and decided, you know what? I'm starting sober minds. Get into telling us how actually it started.
Okay. So sober minds in Namibia is just a proactive community-based initiative. Yeah. It was built on the principle that recovery is possible and prevention is essential. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Sober Minds Namibia is when we include personal growth, humility, and self-awareness. So I came across Sober Minds when I realized things that were going around in my life. So when I made change, when I involved critical decisions of not consuming alcohol at all, this is where we involve Sober Minds, being sober. So being sober is an act against everything that wants to try to destroy your life. For example, when we are talking about alcohol and some other toxic substance. But on my side, it was actually, I'm mostly focusing on alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah, so being sober is an act against those kind of things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whereby you understand life, you include humility. Humility is when you accept that you need help and you cannot do this alone.
Yeah, And I didn't get into asking, who is Mr. Jeremiah? Well, actually, because people will be wondering, who is he, where is he from, and why is introducing Sober Minds to us? Why did he come up? But first, let's find out, who is Mr. Jeremiah? Where did you grow up, perhaps from the coast, from the north, east, west? Who is actually Jeremiah?
Jeremiah, I'm actually 29 years old, so I've gone through a lot of things. Yeah, I've grown up in the northern side of the country.
Okay.
So in a village called Ohadiwa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is where I grown up in the north. Yeah. I've been smart. Mm-hmm. I've been smart, or maybe people from the village can also tell. So, but when I grow up, I tend to start drinking alcohol after I completed my grade 12. Imagine. Yeah, from grade 1 up to 12, I was not involved in alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to start alcohol after I completed school.
Mm.
Yeah. It was a way of entertainment.
Mm.
Yeah. And also to cope with life challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Until it became an addict. So in the midday, I struggled a lot. And I struggled. I realized that this is not my thing.
Mm.
So I took some decisions on my own.
Mm-hmm.
That no man. I have been smart all along. I remember very well at school, I used to pass with flying colors.
Mm.
We were the people that we've been called like number one, number two. So then I decided, no, I cannot be deceived by alcohol. I have to do something.
Yeah.
So after that, I take a decision. Yeah, a critical decision that I include. A decision of not consuming alcohol at all. Yeah. That's where we involve a sober mind. So I started writing an article. This article, I wanted to give it to the public.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I made some research from friends and here and there. So until I come up with an idea that let's make this an initiative, because I cannot recover alone. Yeah. I would like people to recover also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pause there for me just for a while. I will take a short commercial break and we'll be back shortly. Please do stay tuned and we'll be back.
Care that builds with you. That's the rollover benefit from NHB. When you claim less than a defined amount of your day-to-day benefits in a year, the unused amount is carried over for the next year, like a savings account for your health. You can use your rollover benefit in many ways, from co-payments to medical costs usually not covered, even contribution holidays. Learn more at nhb.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHB, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHB, we're about you.
Okay, and we are back. And Jeremiah was busy telling about his story and also about how you want other people to recover. Let's get right into that again.
Mm. So let's get back. It's After that, after starting up an initiative, Sober Minds Namibia, so this is where I decided to say that, no, I cannot recover alone, since recovery is possible. So I would like to help. I must come up with something, which is Sober Minds Namibia. Yeah, I received a lot of questions from people. No, are you trying to stop us from drinking alcohol at all? Or are you trying to stop business of alcohol? No. Then I say, no, I'm not stopping alcohol business. I'm trying to raise awareness so that the public and the individuals, they must be aware that. They must be aware before consuming alcohol.
Yeah.
Yeah. To make informed choice before doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Our aim at Sober Minds Namibia, I aim to educate. Yeah. To educate individuals, families. Yeah. On the danger of alcohol and substance use.
Mm.
Yeah. We focus on programs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. These programs, they focus on humility, personal growth and self-awareness. Yeah. When you accept. So we don't work with the force. Somebody must also accept. Like in my life, I accepted that no, I need to seek help. I need to find help. I need to get back myself.
Mm.
Yeah. So then I get back myself. Then I also want people to get back. Actually, we are targeting people that are addicted. Yeah. Yeah. We have smart people. Yeah. But because of addiction, they have lost themselves.
True.
Yeah. We have people that are capable of developing a country, for instance.
Mm.
But because of their mind was taken away by alcohol, so they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So at Sober Minds Namibia, we want people to change, to rediscover themselves.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who didn't get chance to rediscover themselves. Yeah. Just because most of the time they are toxic. But when you get sober, this is sober life sometimes. You lost friends. When you lost these friends, when you change places, lost friends. So in this state, this is where you get the time to rediscover yourself. Yeah. Where you get time to think more of productive things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so on.
Yeah. I hear you. Quite an interesting story. Now, I want to fast track back just a little bit.
Mm.
You spoke about how you're smart in school, and then, of course, you diverted to indulging in alcohol and becoming addicted. Mm. Did you eventually get to finish your school, your education?
No.
Oh.
I did not.
Okay.
I did not, due to some circumstances beyond my control.
Mm-hmm.
I did not manage to finish school.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when I'm trying to get involved in school after I get sober.
Yeah.
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 And also to be busy. This is when I realized during that time, mm-hmm. It's almost a decade.
Mm.
Isn't it? Yeah. So whereby in that duration, I have been using those toxic things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I didn't get chance to think about going to school.
Mm.
So when I gained back myself,
mm-hmm.
it's when I'm thinking about going back to school,
yeah.
thinking about coming up with something productive,
mm-hmm.
maybe to help also people like we are talking about Sober Minds Namibia,
yeah.
here and there.
Mm-hmm. No, it's never too late, definitely.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay. Quite interesting. So now, still also talking about Sober Minds, right? We have the beautiful young lady in studio with us. What's your contribution to Sober Minds? What is it that you do in terms of this organization? It's an NGO, right?
Yes, yeah. An NGO.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm the youth.
Wonderful.
I am the one that has to bring in the youth to see that, oh, wait, there's actually someone our age that's actually mm-hmm. talking about this, so... It's more different when an adult tells you don't drink, but then somebody of your age tells you, guys, alcohol is doing this to us. Mm. They're like, oh wait, mm. a person my age is seeing this. Why am I still doing it?
Mm.
Yes. So I think we are all battling that phase of alcohol. It's destroying so many people's life. I feel like so many people are so potential in life. You can do so much more, but we are just, you know, it takes one beer to ruin your whole life.
Mm.
So we just say, I'm just going to go out. I'm just going to take one drink. It's going to be okay. It's never one. It's always two. It's always three. At the end of the day, you have saved up money that you're going to use for something else. And now you're going to use it for alcohol. Tomorrow you wake up with a terrible hangover, talking from experience,
mm.
terrible hangover. And you're like, wait, what happened to my money? You're getting notification from the bank. You swiped where? You don't know what you did. You bought what? And the economy is crazy. The money is going. And then at the end of the day, you're putting strain on your parents. Now the money is gone. And then you lose yourself. You turn to, now I don't have money. Where should I get the money? It takes us back now. It takes you back to thinking, where can I get that money? I need quick money. Then you do the wrong things and you're just going to destroy your life. And building your life back to where it was, the perfect life that you had, is very hard. Sure, it's hard. I'm just literally the youth, the face of the youth in Sober Mind. So, So we just do here and here. You talk to the people, let them understand it in your view of the youth. Because let's be honest, sometimes we just think our parents are overreacting.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. You know, I don't want to shy away from the fact that you guys are so honest and so raw and so practical. And I certainly admire that, because, you know, so many people come up and with beautiful stories and encouragement. And of course, they are addressing a problem that's on the ground. But nobody wants to tell their story to say, I was part of that as well. Nobody wants to say, I did this. You understand? Or perhaps I'm a victim to such, you know. But the fact that you're also saying from experience, and he's also speaking from his experience, that's something really to applaud. And I would really want to see more of that, you know, going forward. Definitely keep it at that, because people tend to affiliate with somebody who has really been in that situation. You know, if you have been in this situation and the next person is speaking, sort of motivating you, you kind of like understand, because they are speaking knowing the negative consequences that have come from their actions. But nonetheless, since this Sober Minds is an NGO that obviously is out there to educate people, I would want you to get into perhaps some of those negative consequences. But before we do that, let me also just hand over to my co-host. Perhaps he wants to pose the right question.
I actually just want to find out, are you getting any funding from somewhere for you to be able to do the activities? Because this initiative is one of the most critical initiatives in this country. And it's going to repair families. There are husbands who go and drink, and then they sleep with somebody else out there, leaving their wife at home because they had that one beer, and then it became two beers and three, right? There are children who will fail at school because they were introduced to alcohol at a very young age. Somebody's in grade 12, but during the time of the exams, they start drinking. They get, you know. So that is the importance. That's just what encapsulates the whole importance of this, of Sober Minds Namibia. So my question is, are you getting any funding? Are you being funded by somebody, or how are you able to do the operations of Sober Minds Namibia?
Yeah, actually at this moment we didn't yet get any fund, so we are trying our best to apply for funds here and there in government institutions, so that maybe they will also consider us. That's why we are also trying to come into the air so that we raise make awareness about our organization, so that they must be aware that there is this Sober Minds Namibia. Yeah, maybe they will also find us.
Okay.
Interesting. Jeremiah, in terms of practical help that you have rendered out there, can you tell us some perhaps a story of what you do on a maybe sort of like a weekly basis, how you help people, where you find them, sit them down and have conversations with them?
Mm. Yeah, actually, as I've said earlier, that we were not funded yet.
Yeah.
So specifically, I only operate from home where I stay.
Mm.
Yeah, call people, communicate with them online.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, guide them towards a sobriety life. Yeah. Yeah, send them prevention strategies.
Mm.
Yeah, how to someone can prevent himself from drinking.
Mm.
Yeah. Also, sometimes we were called, like last time we were called in by the National Youth Council. They called in, they were having a conference.
Mm-hmm.
We were called in, so we also raise awareness on the danger of alcohol. We also had a small march about based on alcohol and substance use. Yeah, we also have, we engage them.
Yeah.
yeah, we also educate a little bit, yeah, and give them information that they need to hear about alcohol.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. You spoke about prevention, how one can prevent themselves from drinking alcohol. Do you mind sharing those for us as well, Anne?
Yeah. Strategies of how someone can prevent themselves from alcohol. Mm-hmm. Actually, we are speaking about when you want to recover now from addiction.
Yeah.
So you have to change friends. Mm. Yeah, because you cannot heal in the same environment that have broken you.
Yes. You cannot heal in the same environment that has broken you.
Yeah, you have to find new areas where you used to stay. You must be staying. The friends, you cannot heal with the same friends. There will be judgments. They'll say, no, brah, just take a sip. Mm. It's nothing. But one sip can turn into an addict.
Mm.
Yes. So you also have to change the way you spend your time. Yeah. Those years when you spend time, most of the time we are just in bars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Only maybe when we are at work. But even at work, we are no more productive because of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I hear you. And you have a very big point right there. Perhaps talk to us about your own journey. How did your family or your close friends and everybody around you feel the time when you were addicted to alcohol? By that, I'm also trying for us to get into the negative consequences of alcohol. I know sometimes we tend to think people know already, but it's always very necessary also to still educate them. And we can't really say people know already because we have sometimes 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds, 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds. Mm. Well, let's just say teenagers who are also learning, you know, you're laying the foundation for them to learn. Mm. So what are the negative consequences of alcohol?
The negative consequences.
Or alcohol abuse.
Yeah. Firstly, when you are with those friends that you are drinking with, all of you, you feel like everything is right.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We are fine. What's wrong with alcohol? They don't want to admit that they need to make change. So what is important is to admit that now, it's getting worse. I need to make some change. So families, to my families, they always say, no, why are you drinking like that? So advise me here and there. But there was no step that was taken by my family. And they only talked to me like, no. Some they are even criticizing. I those guys, they like drinking. Man.
Yeah.
They are even staying far from you. Yeah. They take you like you are no more productive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You lose respect. They no longer respect you because you are unproductive. You are just a drunkard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. When, let's say when you are drinking, people who are like, who don't drink like you, they will not consider you as smart anymore. You have lost yourself. Yeah. You lost respect.
Yeah.
You lost trust. People will no longer trust you. People will no longer respect you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The only people that will like you is the people that you are drinking with, you are consuming with. Because all of you are in the same category.
Yeah.
Mm.
And at that time, I think they like you because
You are buying. Mm. And sometimes when you are drinking with your friends, there are those friends that are not too much addicted.
Okay.
For you, you are too much in it.
Yeah.
So there's a point whereby you will just need money. Like, I'm going to work tomorrow. Guys, we were drinking together. Can you please, guys, help me?
Yeah.
The same people, they will say, no, brah, I don't have nothing. No one will help you out.
Mm.
They are only friends when you are, guys, when you are consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I hear you. And honestly, I think we can't overemphasize the dangers of alcohol enough.
Yeah.
Because truly, it has broken so many families.
Mm.
Many marriages have been destroyed by alcohol. Many schools, many careers have been hindered. People who have talents, as you rightly put it in the beginning, people who are talented, who had opportunities to take them places to go far and achieve many things. And unfortunately, they're not able to actually achieve those. But as you also deal with them, do you also get to the root of speaking about or perhaps questioning them and engaging them and asking them, what is it that actually pushed you to get into alcohol? Is those some of the conversations that you engage in?
Like the friends, the families, Oh, yeah. They used to ask. Mm. Actually, everyone is asking me, why did you decide to come up with this?
Mm.
Yeah. Is there something pushing you that he... I told them that no. I would like to hold myself accountable.
Yeah.
Be there for myself.
Yeah.
And then I cannot be alone in this.
Mm.
I must involve the fellow youth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I must lead with an example
mm-hmm.
that the... I stand as a proof that recovery is possible, so I cannot recover alone.
Yeah.
I must also let other people recover, since it's possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take us through your recovery journey.
Mm.
Was there a hand that was extended to you? Okay, you say your family was not actually, it's not that they were the ones that helped you, but was there like external help outside that actually helped you to overcome this addiction, or how personally yourself did you overcome it?
Personally,
yeah.
As I've said earlier, it involved change of place, change of friends.
Okay.
It's a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no help from somewhere. I was only alone in this. So when I transformed myself, I was an indoor person.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed indoor, only going to work, come back to my bed, start thinking. Yeah, I also involved prayer. Sorry.
Okay.
I also involved prayer.
Okay.
Yeah, I attended some churches also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because God also,
mm-hmm.
God also is needed. Yeah, we need to involve God in all our problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I attended churches for some deliverance, for some hostility healings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why I'm also close to churches also,
mm-hmm.
because this is where I found out also that as an NGO, we must also partner with church,
mm-hmm.
yeah, for prayers, hostility healings, and deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might need deliverance,
okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because when they were consuming alcohol, you know, alcohol can also be used as a gate to some of the things that can, you know. Nowadays, we are just accusing. Also, I was witched. They are passing through because in what you like also.
Mm.
Mm. So we need deliverance also from. We need prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we need a lot also.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
We need people to talk to us also.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody just needs someone to talk to
mm-hmm.
so that he can change.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm. So. Somebody just needs someone to talk to for them to change in their life.
Yeah. Emilia, what is your take on this interesting conversation? Of course, you are the face of the youth, and that's something quite also uncommon, like I earlier said as well. It's quite uncommon. A lot of youth are indulging in alcohol. I mean, we want to party. You people are old. Thank God you are a youth as well, and they can't say that to you, to say, no, you just don't know life because you are old now. You've passed your age of youthful days and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, but what's your take on this? The reality that is on ground is that we are losing so many lives to alcohol. Let's talk about statistics of accidents, you know. When it's a long weekend, for instance, the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia last year released statistics to say 72% of accidents are attributed to human behavior. And that human behavior also, there's a percentage that comes in as a result of intoxication. Somebody drinks alcohol, gets behind the wheel, and decides that they're driving to the north or some sort of nature. But what's your take on what's really on ground practically, on what a lot of young people are engaging in every other weekend?
Okay, I think he has mentioned the part of the friends. But sometimes it's just, you know, we try to say we're okay,
mm-hmm.
right? And then we want to numb the whole pain. And the first thing that comes to our mind of, I don't know now, but I think it's on both the adults, the youth, everybody. So when they're like, oh, I'm going through a lot, and you sit down and you're like, what can I do?
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that comes to their mind is, let me go buy something to drink. Maybe it will numb the pain. It will make me forget. But it's just you trying to hide from reality, and it's still going to come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a friend, and you ask him, why do you drink? Because I'm bored.
Mm.
So that's like, I'm bored. Like, he literally said that if I had something productive to do, I wouldn't be drinking. So if we have sober mind where we are coming here, going around, talking to people or getting more people to join, keeping them busy. So if we're going to keep you busy, you're not going to think about alcohol. That's think true. About the fact of you being in the house 24/7 and you're like, oh, what can I do? Mm. And then you go out, you walk past the bar, it's open, you're going to sit there, you're not going to buy Coke. You're not going to buy Coke, you're going to buy a beer. So if you're going to keep that person busy from 8 o'clock till I don't know what time, the mind is going to be busy. It's not going to be thinking about, wait, I need to buy a beer, I need to do what? So keeping the mind busy as well also keeps the people away from the alcohol and all that. Mm-hmm. That is one thing that I've learned. Like, it's literally just body. They're just born. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the same thing of, because we are only focusing on alcohol, but it's not the biggest problem right now, because you can get people that are, that don't drink, but they smoke weed, they do hubbly, they do all that. And some, a person will be doing smoking chuf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is because.
It chuf? What is that?
The
is
vape. It? I thought yeah. Mm. You'll be smoking the vape because you just love the smoke going out. It's not that you're addicted to it. It's
or the smell.
Or the smell. It's because I like the smell, or I want to look cool. Or, and also they're trying to prove to friends that I'm also cool. I can also, you know, take a poof and breathe it out because I want to be part of the cool kids. But who says you have to be cool? Who says that smoke has to make you cool?
Who says cool means being somebody who vapes or
yes,
smokes
or,
and stuff like that?
Or takes 10 shots or goes to the club every day, because there's this thing of, When we come as youth, the only thing we talk about, I've been to this club, I've been to where, you haven't been there, you should visit where, but you have never said, oh wait, I've read this book, I've went to a conference, I've done this, I've opened up a business, we never have that conversation as youth. And we have to have more of that, because like, where are we going? Where is the generation going right now? It's not going anywhere, because we're all focusing on, I want to do this. I saw this on TV. I want to do this. I want to follow the trends. Why are you following the trends? Where is it taking us? So,
That's a very strong point. Mm. Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Another point I have. Yeah. Maybe I skip it.
Shoot it, please.
Yes. So some people, they program themselves that the only way they can enjoy their money is through alcohol. So the best way is to reprogram yourself. You program yourself that alcohol is not the only way you can enjoy your money, the little money you have. Alcohol is not entertainment. It's not the only entertainment. It's not the only happiness. Mm-hmm. We have a lot that we can do to make ourselves happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point I'm having.
Mm-hmm. Nice. When you say we have a lot that we can do to make ourselves happy, I have some of those pointers as well. But I will start with you. What are some of those activities that you say can make us happy? Then I'll move to Amelia because she's the young person in the face of the youth. She needs to tell us what youth can indulge in. She spoke about reading books. Mm. But let's start with you. What are your contributions to say, what is it that we can do to actually keep ourselves not bored and engage in certain productive activity so that we don't consume alcohol?
Yes. So, firstly, you can start doing daily exercise. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Going to the gym. Yeah. Meet new friends, gym with them. You know, people who go to the gym, they hardly drink also. Yeah, they hardly drink also. So you find friends that are matching with you. Mm. Yes. You can also start going to church. Hmm? You can enjoy the singing also at the church.
That's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Emilia?
I think we are stuck on the point of the environment where you are. I think that one is the very most important part of the whole situation. It's the environment.
Yeah.
But, go somewhere educational, okay. Somewhere that will build you, you know. Sometimes it's the stories at the bar. They are interesting. They are juicy. Mm. They are juicy, but it don't take you anywhere. Like go somewhere where you go home. You have been fed with knowledge. You have been, when you go home, you're reflecting on it and like, wait, this person said this and like, I can do this. Like, I can do this. It takes me 1, 2, 3. I can do this. Why can I not? If the person is telling me this, not you are told the latest gossips, and where will that take you? So go somewhere where you are sitting and people are actually having mature conversation. I think I'm my age. I have friends that my best friend, she's She's a whole mother and she'll be like, girl, we're getting old now. And now we're like sitting with our friends and they're telling us about this. No, man, we need to build things. We need to buy a house. So those are the friends you need. I'm saying the people, the circle that you are surrounding yourself is very important. Don't be friends with a leech. Like, don't let someone suck you. You need someone to give you blood, not someone taking your blood. Mm. So be with someone that is giving you that urge to actually do something great with your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amelia, how old are you?
I'm 23.
Oh, that's beautiful. Yes. And you know what? 23 goes, those years, those young years, they fly by so quickly. Perhaps when you get into your 30s or heading into your mid-30s, you're looking back and you're like, I wish I'd made better decisions even when I was 23. You know, sometimes we're like, no, I'm still young. I have a whole life ahead of me. But the decisions that you make today at the age of 23 will shape your tomorrow. So what you're saying is really right. Let me hand over to my co-host.
I'm just, I think, first of all, I'm really amazed by Amelia, right?
Yeah.
Not only because she has the same name as my sister, but because she's 23, right? Because I know young people who are 23, but at this moment, they can't think of a house, building a house or, you know, doing something constructive with their lives. So it is really, really encouraging to have people who are this young, who can actually drive the development of our country. Because at the end of the day, if you engage in alcohol, it just doesn't help. It doesn't help. I mean, people say, I've had, first of all, myself personally, I never really drank, right? Because I grew up from in a Christian home.
Yeah.
My parents, my dad never drank. I never saw my dad drink until he passed away. Mm-hmm. My mom never drank. So they instilled that sobriety and that moral thing in us to say that no alcohol because we are Christians. but I've seen some of my brothers drink when they used to drink, or some probably still do, you know. But I just took myself personally. I took a decision to just say, well, I think this thing is just not for me. Yeah, and I've lived until that. I'm 48 now, and I still don't drink, you know, and I have seen people who have lost jobs. I've actually got a good friend of mine who has lost a job because he ended up making a school child. He was a school teacher, pregnant. But the first encounter was because he was drunk. That's how he ended up getting this as a girlfriend. And he's somebody who is older. Probably, I think he's a year older than myself. You know, and I'm talking of like the last 5 years. Yeah. It's not something like that that happened years ago. But I'm just saying, like, it's really, really interesting to find somebody who is young and they can make a decision like that at this age. Mm. So big ups to you, you know, for doing that. And and the other thing that makes it more interesting is the fact that you are actually able to go out there and speak to people. I know you will be judged, you know, and I've just been watching a few video clips about people being judged and how people don't like being judged. As if being judged killed someone. You can judge me, bruh. You can judge me as much as you want, but it's not going to make a scar on me, or it's not going to kill me.
Yeah.
But people these days are like, oh, don't judge me, as if somebody judges you, you're going to die. You know? So, yeah.
Is it really judging, though? If you're really putting out what is truthful out there, is it really judging, or they don't want that their bad behavior to be exposed? What do you think?
It's not even judging. I mean, at the end of the day, people tell the truth about your situation, and they're just trying to give you the realization that you
enjoy delicious quality breakfast goodies at USAVE. 1 kilo of Right Brand oats, just $29.99. 4 100 grams clover flavored dairy snacks, just $9.99. 400 grams of U Brand peanut butter, just $29.99. A 400 gram tin of Itosha pilchards, just $24.99. And 26 bags of U Brand black tea, just $8.99. Unbelievable prices. Don't spend all your hard earned money. Get to USAVE, where good food costs less.
Okay, so let's take a commercial break and a musical break. We'll be back shortly. Of course, you are tuned in to Life Lessons right here on your number one talk radio station. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Catatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Catatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future. Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
I try to win, but every time I lose. Should be getting better. I try, but I don't know what to do. Hope this ain't forever. I just wanna make a breakthrough. But something inside said never give up. Mm-hmm. All of these setbacks are major setups. If I keep on fighting, if I keep on trying, if I aim for the sky, one day things will go my way. One day things will go my way. Mm-hmm. One day things will go my way. I've gotta hang in there. Deep down I know one day things will change. I can't live in fear. I know I've got to push through the pain. I've gotta believe in myself. Mm-hmm, yeah. If it's not me, then no one else will. But something inside said never give up. All of these setbacks are major setups. Mm-hmm. If I keep on fighting, if I keep on trying, if I aim for the sky, one day things will go my way. Things will go my way.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast.
Welcome back. Of course, we are still in studio, Life Lessons, on your number one talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. We're talking about sober minds, and I'm joined in studio by Jeremiah and Emilia. Of course, Jeremiah, we're speaking about rehab now, okay? In terms of those critical, I don't want to call them patients, people who come in and the situation is quite intense, and perhaps you feel like this is out of my control. What do you do with those people? Where do they go?
Yeah, so this comes in when we have a one-on-one consultant where we consult someone, assess the situation. Maybe he was brought up by parents. Most of those critical things is whereby parents are involved now. Maybe someone is a young, then the parents took a decision to bring him.
Yeah.
So in this matter, the person might need the rehabilitation. We refer to existing rehabilitations. Mm-hmm. We have one in Namibia.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe we are going to partner with them. Mm-hmm. Then we refer to that existing rehabilitation center, which is, we have a Tegameno Rehabilitation Center in Namibia. Yeah, that's where we will refer some of the members.
Okay.
That are in critical, yeah. But there's something, sometimes you receive a call from people, I know, we had used to help people with alcohol. We are having a current situation. There's someone drunk here. So in that situation, we don't handle that. We only handle when the person is in calm. Yeah.
Sober.
So and the person must be sober.
Sober story.
And the person must accept that, no, I need help.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, let's dwell there right now. The person must be sober and they might accept that I need help.
Yes.
What are some of the mistakes that perhaps we make as family, as friends, as maybe a spouse, where you know that your loved one is addicted to alcohol and you are forcing them to get help but they don't want? What is your advice in that aspect?
The advice?
Mm-hmm. Like that's sort of like forcing the horse to go and drink water. But because based on your last statement, you know, should we force people to get help even if they don't want to, or should we wait for them to want to get help? Or
yeah, in life, there is no way somebody will just be every time. There is that one day he will come and say, no, man, mom or dad, dead, I'm tired, man. What can I do? So in that time when once you find out the person come, yeah, trying to ask the parents that, my parents, I need help. That's the time where you bring in to the people, like trying to find out where supporters, yeah, existing support organizations.
Yeah. That's true. Emilia, what do you say?
Okay, my take is, but the thing of wait for the person to come. If we're gonna wait for long, by that time a lot is already damaged. But sometimes it's just you saying it repeatedly, saying it to the person that what you're doing, till the person realizes, kucha, no, what I'm saying or what I'm doing, there's something wrong with me. Uh-huh. So you don't have to say it in a bad way. Don't have to throw harsh word at the person. Just here, there, every day, remind them like, hey, you are destroying your life and you don't see it.
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing? I think you need help. Don't, but if you're going to be there, no, you are useless, you are what? Those harsh words, the person going to go back because they're going to think about it and they're like, no, you know what? Let me go drink again so I can just forget. Like, let the person, tell them in a good way so they can go think about it in a good way. I don't know,
yeah,
but I'm just saying.
Because
harsh words,
yeah,
tend to break the person more
and push them and further push, away.
Yet push them to go continue again to go drink to just get rid of that pain. I think for me, okay, when I started alcohol wise, I started at the age of 20. That was the first time I drank alcohol, and I was drinking it for the fact of the fun of it because, oh, it looks cool. Everybody's doing it. I also want to try.
Yeah.
And I realized I'm just drinking it because everybody else is doing it. And once, you know, it's very, very boring when you are the only sober one because you feel like everyone is just annoying you. You're like, oh, guys, it's like the people are pretending. So you would want to also be in that vibe of everybody else. But now I'm like, I go out with my friends. I just have my drink. I'm literally the whole mother of the whole situation. So I'm like, I'm fine about it. But it was also a point where I am not completely healed of the fact that I don't drink alcohol because there are situations where it turns me to like, I feel like I'm so heavy, like something is wrong and like, no, there's no one to talk to. Mm. And I feel like I just need to buy a beer and come sit at home and just sleep. So sometimes it's the surrounding, as we go back again to the surrounding of where you are and how you are hurt and all the feelings, the mixed feelings, you don't know what to do and there's no one. But then we are now here. That's why we're sober mind that if there's no one to talk to, because sometimes it's hard to get a hold of some counselors because they will ask for money and all that. But we're not, we're just there to actually listen and to talk to and to hear what's the problem. Because if you don't have anyone, you have sober mind now.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. If you don't have anyone, you have a sober mind now.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Now, in terms of young people, are you reaching out to a lot of young people? Are there a lot of people that are really coming on board and saying, I need help with this so that I can stop this addiction to alcohol? Are they?
As we said, Sober Mind is just a baby right now. So our first encounter was the youth conference that he has spoken about earlier. So we are still in the progress of everything. But Mr. Jerobium here has been communicating with, if you can correct me.
Yeah.
But for my first encounter was that. But if a friend comes to me, I am more than welcome to listen.
That's nice. Yeah.
On my side, I experienced a lot of people coming to me.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? They are coming in telephone. You know, most of the time I'm trying to share on social media, like on WhatsApp, share and tell them that we are doing this at Sober Minds Namibia. Don't you want to recover your life back? Are you not tired? And so on. Some are coming in. You know, my brother, me, I'm tired, man. How do I go about it?
Yeah.
What must I do? I say, no. Sometimes I jump into a call with some of them.
You know, there's something about opening a Tafel Lager that brings people together.
Yeah. You know, as people come together, the voices follow.
Ideas get shared. Laughs get louder.
New perspectives come up where you least expect them.
Because when people use their voice, conversations start.
And those conversations, they can refresh a moment and even shape what happens next.
So, grab a Tafel Lager and start the conversation. Tafel Lager. Now we're talking. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay. We ended off with Mr. Jeremiah. You were saying? We ended off with you before the commercial break. I'm so sorry.
It's about receiving calls from friends that, my brother, man, I'm proud of you. Some are saying, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
How did you do it? How did you manage?
Yeah.
So, some of the people, I jump into a call with them, discuss with them, tell them that, no, you just need to sit down for yourself. Sometimes you just need to sit down, put yourself in a meeting. Yeah? This is where you realize that, what am I doing? What am I gaining from alcohol?
Yeah,
you start from the scratch, checking behind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Which mostly, especially people that are addicted, most of the things that are coming out, the outcomes of drinking, there's only this short-lived happiness here at the bar, when you're taking a sip. But back, there's a lot. Some lost their devices. Some did not go to work. You didn't help home. A lot. You ate a lot of credit. When you are waking up, a lot of problems, but they just came after that short-lived happiness. Yeah.
I was never really a person of alcohol, like Mr. Andreas spoke about. And I thankfully, I thank God for the family I come from.
Mm.
We might have our struggles in other areas, but alcohol was not really one of our struggles.
Mm.
My grandparents themselves used to sit at home, not go to the coca shop. My mom as well. My dad as well. My dad is sort of like, can I say, maybe we'll sip in here and there. But really, I think that also contributed to me not having the interest so much that, you know, growing up as a young person, and since those around me knew that I don't take alcohol, I think they sort of always want to test me whether I'm pretending or something like that. And I was working as a waitress back then when I was a teenager, and I remember my colleagues put a tot of some sort of alcohol in I think it was a Coke bottle that I was drinking. So the moment I came and grabbed it, because I was busy drinking it and didn't have anything, the moment I came and got it, I took it to sip in. The strong smell, I could already sense it, like this, and there's no way it's actually going to pass. One time I went to my dad's cupboard, and I remember taking Amarula. I was like, let me take Amarula because it looks so beautiful. I love fresh milk. It looks like just to take this thing is sour on my throat. And I'm like, what in the world? Why would I want to torture myself? Like, why would I want to drink something that is sour? And I remember for my 21st birthday, right? Still my colleagues, they bought me, what do you call this? Is it blowjob, peppermint and cream, or is it peppermint and Marula, something of that not, you know, the mixed alcohol, yeah? No, just take it. And I think there was also a thought of Jägermeister. And my goodness, when we're talking about Jägermeister, we're talking about something that's so strong, you know? And this up, I just turned 21. I was neither a person of going to clubs as well. I went to the club for the first time in my life when I was 21. And I think we knocked off probably at 10 o'clock or towards 12 o'clock, went to the club. Guess what time I got home? 6 in the morning. And I remember so very well, I was dancing with this guy who was a complete stranger. I was dancing with him. All of a sudden, that very night, I wasn't drunk, but you know, the atmosphere of the club made me look like as if I was dizzy. So I felt like I liked this guy. I like him. In fact, I think I loved him right there and then, you know, and you know that. So the next day he came to my workplace to say hi. Hi, I was dodging. I was like, what? Is this the best? No. Are you sure though? So really sharing this story now, and that's just a snippet. By the way, from that day, I vowed I will never, because my colleagues at the time insisted, it's your 21st. You need to go to the club. You need to drink. And I gave into it to say, okay, fine. They spent so much money on this. It's not like it was $20. But I think fully, thank God, I made a decision. I will never go to the club, because club makes you lose yourself. Mm. You're not yourself anymore. Even if you're not drinking, you're like an intoxicated person. You wasted hours. You're going home at 6 o'clock. Mm. So really the aspect of peer pressure is very strong. Yeah. Just from my story, I can tell that it's very strong. As to anyone, I couldn't resist just that one action. Now, unfortunately for some people, they become addicted. That becomes the beginning of something bad, right? Mm. So I think let's talk about now those that negatively influence others. What is your message to them? Those that insist, no, your mom died, you lost your girlfriend, let's go drink. What is your advice to those that really push others and encourage others to partake in that which is not building them and is not building society?
Oh, I'm taking it. I think, yes, I'm saying we're back to the root again, the environment and the circle. So if you have encountered it once, then don't encounter it twice. So if you see that this, the people that you're with 24/7 and all these, like, all they can say is, let's go drink, let's go do what, let's go what, let's go. And there's no thing of productive work. Mm-hmm. Then it's already a ton of that. I have to cut off those friends.
Yeah.
So there's no thing of they're going to change. I think that's one thing we put in our mind, that no, they did me wrong once, they are going to change. Yeah. That thing of they are going to change, it's fine, they are going to change. It's you agreeing that what they are doing is fine. It's I'm going to live with it. It's okay. It's normal. It's perfectly fine. Mm. So don't live with the fact of they're going to change. In fact, walk away. Close that door. Close that chapter. It's not worth it. Close it because they are not building you. You're not building yourself. So they are not the right friends. Have friends that you see that they're going to build you. We are going nowhere at this point of where we are in a world that is so critical at the point of we don't know what we want to do anymore. We are unemployed because we want everything to be brought onto us and we don't want to go look for it. Mm-hmm. So now if you're still going to stay with that same circle, basically nothing will come for you. Get a circle that will tell you, get up, it's early in the morning, get your butt up. Get your butt up. Let's go do something. Let's go find something that will, let's go get ideas that will build us. Not this of, ah, my brah, I heard there's a new place here. Let's go there. My friend is throwing a chill. No, my friend is throwing a whole business engagement with her friends. Let's go do that. Yeah, let's, you know, it's, you are literally having a platter of two and you have a choice. Either mm-hmm. you're going for the good one or you're going for the bad one. Choose one. It's your future. Mm-hmm. You choose it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The future will thank you for it. Earlier you spoke about going to conferences. And I think what a lot of people don't know, even here in Namibia, there's so many conferences that are always being hosted here and there. I would say that because, okay, fine. I'm in the media space and mm-hmm. invitations are going out. And I think sometimes they invite as well via Facebook, open to the public.
Yes.
And a lot of people are not showing up. They're not making sure that, hey, let me go to this engagement. It's a business summit. Mm-hmm. I have a business. Let me go learn something new, something different. Let me go network and meet people. So that's what you're saying. It's very much on point. Yeah. Jeremiah.
Yeah, my point is about friends. Mm-hmm. You know, some people, they will be like, no, they are the only friends I'm having. So mm-hmm. how will I live now?
Yeah.
Life is a journey. So don't worry losing these friends. Yeah. You will find friends that match with your journey, with your lifestyle.
Yes.
Throughout your journey, you will meet friends, new friends that match your lifestyle. Yeah. Don't worry with losing friends. Mm. That's the only advice I'm giving. So when you find out that these people, they are wrong friends, mm-hmm. cut them off. You will get new friends mm-hmm. that can match with your lifestyle.
That's true. Mm. That's so true. Yeah, and I think this goes out to Amelia as well. You will get new friends that will match your lifestyle. In the beginning, it's very difficult, especially when you have decided I'm going to isolate myself and distance myself from so thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not only alcohol, even for other stuff. And you decide, hey, you know what? No, I no longer want to be part of this circle that this does this and this and that. You will feel alone, mm-hmm. most definitely, because most times you won't meet the people that believe what you believe as well, or accept what you accept as well, or has taken decisions that you have taken as well. But along the way, as Mr. Jeremiah rightly says, life is a journey. You will find those people that are on the same page as you are. Mr. Andreas?
That's a very interesting one. It's a thing where we need to accept that when you came in this world, you were born alone. You didn't have those friends.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing that we need to start thinking along the lines of. I remember the time when I was in high school, hey?
Yeah.
We had a group of guys. I think a lot of them, some were from Okalongo, some from somewhere, you know, Kwanyama, others were from Mbalantu and Kwambi. A whole group of guys, I think we were nine in a hostel room.
Okay.
Yeah, that's now grade 11, 12. I was only in the hostel in grade 12, right? So these guys thought that they were going to finish grade 12 and move maybe to Oshakati or Ongwediva or Vinduk or wherever, whichever town, yeah, from the villages, because we were all coming from different villages, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they thought they were going to move in, like maybe get an apartment or a house together, rent a house together, all nine of them. Because they were such good friends and they used to do everything that the other person is doing is what they're doing. So drinking alcohol was one of them. They used to smoke and then they would get caught. And you see, the time when we were in school, things were really, really serious when it comes to alcohol and and smoking and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So these guys thought that at the end of the of grade 12. They will move in, maybe they'll go to a town and move in together and move into like one house and live together like how they were living in the hostel. It's one of the most delusional things I've ever heard. but they were convinced, they convinced themselves that they're going to be together. You see? So immediately when it was, when we were done with the exams and we had to go home, everybody had to go to their mothers and their father's places. And that was probably the end of it. I remember one of those guys, I never met him again. I think later on I went to UNAM, came back with my first degree, started teaching.
Yeah.
Two years later, I left the country, went to the UK. When I came back, I met one of his friends who was in the same room with him. He tells me, no, this guy died in a car accident. He actually became a police officer or something like that. And then he went to serve somewhere. And then he got involved in a car accident and he passed on.
Yeah.
Then I was asking, what happened to the other one? No, the other one was working in Valfis Bay, I think as a seaman. And he contracted HIV, he passed on. And then I asked, what happened to the other guys? No, the other one is in the Namibia Defense Force. The other one has gone somewhere. This other one is just at home, just drinking. So I was like, you see, that is the delusion that we, as a young person, we think that these friends are so critical to us and we can't live without them. But life throws us so many things that you might not even meet that guy again, ever. You see, so I'm just narrating this little story to say that as a young person, start thinking individually before you start thinking that you can't live without your friends. Friends are there for a season, and I mean there are different seasons. If you look at some of the people, like when you were, look at yourself when you were 5 years old. Yeah. The friends that you used to play with in the street, they moved from that street and they went somewhere else, and maybe some of them you've never met them again.
Yeah. You know?
So. Don't think like these friends are the whole world for you.
Yeah.
It's important to have friends, yeah. But if you can lose them over a good cause, it's good.
Yeah.
I remember when like for me personally, when I had a lot of friends also, but all my friends, fortunately, they were not into alcohol and things like that. Because, and that is what it says, like, you can only find what you're looking for. So if you are looking for friends who are into alcohol, you'll find them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if you are not an alcoholic person, you don't drink, you'll find you connect with people who are like you.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's just the same, like if you are looking for a life partner, you want to get married. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to get married and you are in a bar, you pick up a girl who is in a bar.
Yes.
Yeah. If you go to a church and you pretend because you are trying to find a brother. Or a spouse in church, you will find the one who also came there looking for a spouse to find in church. And I've seen examples of those things. So I think it's really, really important that young people can start thinking, develop a backbone, you know, a strong backbone that says, I am an individual.
Mm-hmm.
I do what is right. I do what is good for me, what is good for my future. And that is the other thing with the smoking now, the vape and those things, right? I've heard of a guy who just died. I think it was in 2024, a young person who died in 2024 because they were smoking and I think they were smoking that, I don't know, that I think that was Habli. It wasn't vape. Is it vape or vape?
Mm.
Yeah, vape. I can't even pronounce the things correctly. Yeah, so they were smoking Habli and they used to put, I think, some watery stuff in the Habli to smoke with it. That's what I heard from the person who was telling me. And this guy was taken to the hospital and they pumped out a 5 liter of water from their lungs. 5 liter of water because of that smoking of that Habli store.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, and that guy died. Now the friends, if you tell the friends, they will say, oh, you're judging us. Was that really judging or you're just trying to help a person to have a better, healthier life?
Mm-hmm.
You see? So I think it's really, really important for us to go out there and just reach out to young people.
Yeah.
Those of us who are parents and you have young people in your home, speak to them honestly, candidly about the dangers of alcohol and substance abuse and all these smoking things. I used to tell people when they would talk about smoking, I would say to them, unless you are telling me that God is not very clever,
yeah,
that he made your lungs only to take in oxygen,
mm-hmm,
and take out what do you call it,
carbon dioxide.
So if God has made
the lungs for oxygen take in, for the intake of oxygen, then if you put anything else that's not oxygen in there, you're already
damaging
you know, the whole system of the lungs. So the same applies to alcohol. Now there's a fact that I've picked up from some research. I was just reading about alcohol one of the days. One tot of alcohol, when you consume it, you will lose 1 million brain cells. Every one tot, every single tot of alcohol you consume, you will lose 1 million brain cells. So basically, you are becoming stupider and stupider and stupider, and dumber and dumber and dumber. And if you are in school, you it is a chemical, and it's made from you know, it's made in the lab. Alcohol is made in the lab. It's not meant for human consumption. Mm. So it's supposed to be used for cleaning wounds and things. That's why what we have in methylated spirit, we have it in the sanitizers that we're using during the time of COVID. That's why they were saying, no, it should have 8% alcohol and all that, to kill bacteria, not to put in your body. See, and those are the things that young people are not getting. And young people who are listening to this, I just pray to God that you guys are taking something from here. And somebody needs to make a decision. You need to develop some backbone and be a strong young person who is going to have children in the future, who is going to lead a home and maybe a society, maybe a country, maybe a ministry, maybe you'll be a minister later on in life. So you need to develop a backbone and take a decision and say, I quit. I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah.
And that's what we are here for. So big ups to Mr. Jeremiah and Emilia for the courage to even come in and share your stories. It's really, really inspiring. Yeah, so one of the things that I wanted to just find out is, have you got any stories like of people who have actually come to you and they have managed to kick this habit of alcohol because of your intervention? Like any testimonies that you have? I know that the organization is quite young, but I know that personally, I'm sure you have helped a couple of people who have now quit drinking because of that.
I also spoke to some. They said, no, I'm also trying. I don't want alcohol anymore, my brother. The last time you talked to me, I've changed. Yeah, I've stopped. Yeah, I'll see until when. I said, keep pushing. Keep pushing. You are coming.
Have you encountered anybody who has had a relapse? They were drinking. They came to you. You spoke to them, and then they kind of sobered up, and then they went back again.
Not yet.
Because that is also one of the things that some people, it's not easy. Once you start a bad habit, you see, bad habits are bad. That's why they're called bad habits. Yeah. Alcohol is one of those things where if you start it and you don't change your environment, you can even change your environment, but you can actually go to the extent of saying, oh, let me just buy my bottle of, what is that other one? Jacobista? I don't even know how to spell that one, but it's okay. Yeah. Let me just buy my bottle of that drink and go and sit at home and drink it, you know. I've had another friend of mine. He used to drink alcohol, but not to a point of getting drunk. He would just buy, take to his home, and drink just a bit. Just drink, like, you know how people drink in the movies? Where you just pour a small amount and you drink that. And so he did that for years and years and years and years, and I think probably 20 years later, his liver gave in. Yeah, because alcohol damages your liver, you know.
Whether you drink it at home or not.
Whether you drink it at home or you drink to get drunk. Of course, if you are going out and you drink a lot get drunk, it just, that process just takes takes place faster.
Yeah.
So, but years later, he had to go in for lung problem. Liver problem. And then that gave, I think the medication they gave him had some side effects that affected his kidney. Today, as I'm talking to you, he only has one kidney because he had to go for an operation to remove the other kidney. But that is just because of a drink. Alcohol. Yeah, now my business partner from South Africa, Mr. Charlie Bolton, the first time I heard him say that, I just laughed because I've never heard somebody say that before. He says, alcohol, when you take it, you are actually taking your hard-earned money, buy something that's bad for you, that's going to destroy your life, and you drink it to feel better, and you just go to the toilet or pee it in the toilet or in the ground. So basically, it's actually the money that you are using that you are putting in the ground or in the toilet.
Yes.
Because that's what alcohol is.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to come to a point as young people where we say, look, this thing is just crazy. It's just ridiculous. Mm-hmm. For you to, it's like somebody taking money to buy because they are addicted to nicotine. Now you can't stay without smoking for 2 hours. Every 2 hours you have to take a smoke.
Yeah.
Smoke break at work, you know.
Mm.
But it's something bad that them just your lungs. But you take your hard earned money and you use it to buy something bad that's going to damage your like. Where's the sense in that?
Mm.
Alcohol. You know, the tobacco, smoking, vape, all these things, they are all damaging your something in your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that we keep on going to talk to young people, and especially at schools. I think because I have a background in teaching, it would be nice for sober mind to go to schools. Because right now in schools, it is terrible. It is terrible. Learners are no longer passing. Learners are no longer able to concentrate because now the chill thing, you know, I'm throwing a chill here, and it's all alcohol. There's no party that you can find the young people going to where there's no alcohol. There's nothing like that, except if they're coming from my church. I'm saying my church because I know my church young people don't do those things. But yeah, so it's really a good thing to hook up with schools and go to the schools and speak to young people about this alcohol thing.
I love that you brought statistics in there.
Mm.
You know, it's always good to discuss when you have also practical numbers or practical examples. It's a good thing because then it shows the reality that is on ground, right? But yeah, you know, they call it withdrawal period or withdrawal syndrome, especially when the person is getting off from the alcohol, then they also exhibit or show some withdrawal symptoms. And that's not easy. Just as it is with drugs also, I remember especially for some people, usually they would administer naloxone. It's a drug. It's a medication, yes, you know, for those. And those who are addicted to drug, they can have withdrawal symptoms. So they can have agitated behavior and other kind of stuff. So even with alcohol, it's the same. So then I think in terms of when, I don't want to say a patient, but let me say when somebody is going through that withdrawal symptom period, because it's not easy when you're coming off something, there will still be that fight and that pull because somehow you have trained your body to receive this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're telling it it shouldn't. And the hormones and the neurotransmitters in your brain are, you know, dancing somewhere there. They want something that they were used to. So maybe when there's that withdrawal symptom where somebody's perhaps sort of like relapsing and their behavior is becoming more agitated, they want the alcohol, how do you then perhaps help in that time before you even referring to somebody?
Yes. Being sober, it doesn't come just like that. Once we are sober, poor. No. So being sober, it starts with one day.
Yeah.
1 day of sobriety counts. Until it becomes 2 days, 1 week, 2 week, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 6, up to a year. Yeah, so for you to beat out those things of like a relapse or what do you...
Yeah, relapse.
So you have to keep yourself busy with something. Either you must try to exercise just to beat that thinking of no man, want to drink. Try to have a run, take a run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep yourself busy with something. Try to read some novels. Yeah. Keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only way to cut off those feelings of wanting to drink.
Yeah.
You know, you must also be responsible for with your environment. You avoid the trigger points, the places that are trigger points to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Places that are reminding you of those old days. Yeah. You cannot say, I want to leave alcohol, but you are still in the bar. You are still going to the bar. I'll just go drink my good drink. No. You just drink that good drink maybe for few minutes. Your friends will say, my friend, as we are enjoying, don't, if you want to become sober, recover from addiction, you don't go to those places.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot heal in the same place that have broken you. I have said it earlier.
Yeah, you did. You cannot heal in the same place that has broken you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, for people who have been sober for, you say, 1 day of soberness counts of sobriety. Mm. That is really nice. Mm. Yeah. But when I have become sober, okay, perhaps for 3 days or for a week, and then I relapse. Mm. What is your advice to someone in that situation or that circumstance?
Mm. There is a word we call resilient. You must start over again and try again.
Nice.
Never give up.
Okay.
Mm, never give up. If your head is willing, one day you're going to be proud of yourself that finally I'm a sober man.
Yeah.
Like for me.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself.
Yeah? Yeah.
I'm very proud of myself.
Mm.
Mm.
But was there a time also where you started off and then relapsed and started off? Or did you just decide,
I made up my mind and then... Those relapses, they happen.
Okay.
Yeah, because there are some point, there are sometimes I can drink only like on a month end.
Yeah.
During the month, I'm just saying, no, I'm not drinking. I'm just there, fine.
Yeah.
Month end come, we start over again.
Because you have money.
It was not easy. It was not easy.
Yeah, ne?
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Thankfully, you have been sober now. But tell us, how long have you been sober now, Jeremiah?
Yeah, it's becoming 2 years now, three. Mm. Mm. It's becoming 2 years because I started 2024.
Okay.
Yeah, with some relapse. And so,
yeah.
2025, I hold until now.
Is there someone close to you, maybe like a family member or a friend, who saw you and knew your state then, and now they see you sober, no longer relapsing and no longer really being in that situation of being addicted to alcohol, and then they decided, you know what, Jeremiah did it, I'm going to do it. Is there someone perhaps in your community as well who has done some, who has been inspired?
There are always friends that tell me that, my brother, I'm inspired by you.
Yeah.
I would like to be, I want to be like you.
Yeah.
I have friends also, I have family members also that they are always saying, I want to be like you. Yeah. They are also those ones that ask me, how did you come about it? I can't believe so.
Mm-hmm.
The stories are a lot now.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay. Amelia, anything you want to share on this?
Yeah, for the part of we're saying the relapse and all that, I think, I don't know, I'm just saying this is just out of the blue. I don't know, the non-alcoholic drinks were just kept popping up when we were just talking about it. Mm-hmm. So I think for that, we're chasing the taste or the, taste or the, I don't know what we're chasing, but... because yes, it's not easy to just, let me just stop immediately, because... if I say I'm not drinking today, tomorrow you'll still think about it. Then, yeah, try going for the non-alcoholics. Maybe it will help you not go back to, because that's how I started off.
Mm.
I started off of like, wait, okay. Okay, for me, the reason why I also don't really drink is because, health issues. But, so, if you're, trying to get rid of that alcohol doesn't taste nice. Trying to get rid of it.
That's still nice either, you know?
So just try a non-alcoholic here and there. You see where it takes you. Because I feel like the non-alcoholics also do help. It does help a lot.
Mm.
It does here and there. But yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I sort of like we have the mindset that I think for some people it will still trigger them. Nonetheless, we have a caller. Life Lessons, good evening.
Oh, good evening.
Good evening, sir.
How are you?
I am well.
Are you seeing Life Lessons or what is it?
Life Lessons, Uncle Buana.
Oh, Jojo.
Long time, Uncle Buana. Welcome back.
Oh, my God. How are you doing, Jojo?
I'm doing well, Uncle Juan. How are you? Yes.
We said what? You know, I was just being accustomed to those psychologists, those experts used to speak from, some of them from Nigeria, some of them from, you know, talking about issues of life.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not. I never thought maybe here again this time around, interacting with her. See?
Mm-hmm. They are Namibians.
Yes. And how are you doing?
So we are doing good. Say, how are you doing?
We say good. Is this the pastor? Because previously the pastors who are coming.
Are you with us?
The men of God, and the men of God, you know, have to be respected. Just for the sake of, you know, preaching the gospel and fishing out ourselves, you know. So otherwise, I didn't even know. I was just thinking that maybe a recorded kind of a thing. Now I've heard that one of the guests is there. So please, let me just greet you formally.
We are doing fine, and how are you, Sam?
No, we thank God. So I don't even know the topic. So I was just late for a lecture. So Madam Juju will really forgive me for that.
Uncle Buana, we're talking about Sober Minds. He is the founder of Sober Minds, an organization that is to help people, not just young people, but people in generally, those who are addicted to alcohol abuse.
Yes, those ones I heard. Oh, thank you very much, Sober Mind. That program, Sober Mind, that means now we need to, our mind need to be sober before we realize that the consequences of engaging in alcohol, drugs, because those things, they usually go together.
Mm.
And once we develop those habits, we entangle ourselves with serious problem, actually. We tackle ourselves, we engage ourselves into serious, serious problems. Because many a times we have had crimes, gender-based violence, and many, many other, you know, unlawful conducts occur because of drunkenness, alcoholism, and all these other things. So I'm happy that if there are organizations that can help to rehabilitate and, also prevent in a way those actions before they get us into trouble. So please, I do not listen. And if that's what you are talking about, it's a good thing. And we are happy that a lot of people are actually dying into those kind of, just because of those, engaging in those kind of activities. Or contact.
Yeah.
So what is it that we can really perhaps do to be rescued from there?
Uncle Buena?
Yes, madam.
What did you say?
I was just prompting a question that how do we now avoid and help? How can we be helped? How do we help our people? How do we rescue them from the consequences of engaging into alcoholism or drugs? Because those things, they go together.
Mm.
And we know that many a times violence, domestic violence, and a lot of things are happening just because of this. How do we restrain ourselves? How can we be helped in that process?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Uncle Buana, you need to go back to listen now.
Yeah, now I'm going to listen, and the founder.
Yeah.
And I think most of those people who are actually founding those organizations, they are well acquainted with the Word of God. And I believe they can do a lot to transform our society.
Yeah, maybe
I will be listening.
Okay. Thank you, Uncle Buana.
Welcome, man.
Okay.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So, yes. So, I was listening, but I couldn't get well what he was trying to say.
Okay.
But he was talking about how do they get support.
Mm.
So, we are having, in Sober Minds Namibia, we are having what we call family support. We support families that are struggling. We have families that are in their houses. There's no more peace. The family is broken. They are just focusing on alcohol. So we can support those families by providing them with some piece of education, guiding them and providing with the prevention strategies to prevent themselves from alcohol, from addiction or, how do I say this?
Yeah.
We educated them on the danger of alcohol because, you know, there are some people that just need someone to talk to, but there is no way they can find. So, as Sober Minds Namibia, we exist so that we can talk to people, give them the right information, educate them on the danger of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I remember at school, there is something that was missed up. At school, I cannot remember we have deep learning about the danger of alcohol. They only say, no, alcohol is danger to your health and so on. They never talk about, no, that alcohol can also bring you debts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alcohol can also poison your purpose, your whole purpose.
Mm.
Yeah. Alcohol, it can do a lot of things. It can addict you until you become like, can damage your brain cell until you become no more useful.
Mm.
Yeah, stupid. I'm sorry for saying this word.
Mm.
Yeah, most of the people that use alcohol, especially the addicts, they no longer concentrate on useful things.
Mm.
They only concentrate on bad things. Bad things is drinking. Yeah. They only concentrate mostly in just drinking.
And fights and quarrels. And quarrels. Comes out of that.
They, people who are addicted of alcohol, they no longer think of something else productive. Morning time, calling, hey, well, bruh, what are you having there? Anything? Just those funny calls. Discussing about alcohol, nothing productive anymore. Yeah, they didn't get time to rediscover themselves as a matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So we educate everyone in Namibia.
Yeah. No, it's a wonderful initiative, Jeremiah, and I can only encourage you to continue further and further more with it, and of course, Emilia as well, and to play your part. Probably in the couple years from now, people will be going about and speaking about the contribution that you have made in their lives. Because sometimes when you have a calling on your heart, something that it's sort of small, you know, scripture rightly says, who has despised the days of small beginnings? In other words, don't look down on the days of small beginnings when you are beginning. Mm. Sometimes it might feel like you want to reach out to so many people and they are not availing themselves, but they need the help and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And I believe in the long term, it will definitely yield results. Mm. But yeah, really, when it comes to, I think you rightly put it that maybe education is not enough in terms of educating people on the consequences or the dangers of alcohol. But then again, we also have people who are in positions of influence, you know.
Mm.
You've got some doctors, you've got some police officers. Like, for instance, I grew up in a location where there was this police officer in our location, and every day he was drunk. Mm. How he went to work, we don't know. But thankfully, he didn't lose his job.
Mm.
Fast forward to some years later, maybe 2 or 3 years later, and I was a teenager at the time, somebody introduced him to a church. And truly, lo and behold, he changed. He wasn't drinking anymore. He looked nice. His uniform was polished. You know, he was really looking very nice. And he had his house. And from later on, what we had from the story, since his wife died, he became depressed because his wife died. I'm not sure if the wife was sick and perhaps he was hoping that she will recover. And unfortunately, she died. And that really affected him. And I think addressing also emotional pains that people are carrying, emotional weights. Because, you know, sometimes for some people, they go they become addicts because of peer pressure. You know, somebody pushes them to, or forces them to, or entices them to drink alcohol. And for other people, they try to numb the pain of whatever they are going through. But like like Mr. Andreas rightly said there, you know, that it's really foolishness to take your hard-earned cash to go and spend it on alcohol tomorrow you don't have. Like, you begin to ask yourself, yes, you already have little. You perhaps you have nothing. And it takes a decision. And it takes also a person who says, I need help. Because sometimes you won't get the help. And yes, there are times when you're looking for the help and you can't find it. But nonetheless, we thank God for such organizations. They are necessary within the community. Such organizations are needed in the community. And I can only hope that you'll also take on, you'll add drugs. You know, those who are perhaps struggling with drug addictions and maybe get the right people who are equipped into helping them. But yeah, how can people really reach up to you, those that need help and assistance in breaking this addiction?
People can reach out to me via my contact details. Yeah, or my email.
Okay.
Yeah. So currently, because we don't have a specific office, but soon we will have one. Yeah. We'll have a place where we'll be operating.
Uh-huh.
Mm.
So your email and your number, please?
My number is 081-2642-161. And on repeat again is 081-2642-161. My email address is sobermindsnamibia24@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
sobermindsnamibia24@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Jeremiah, just repeat the number again slowly. I think there's a lot of people who are struggling with alcohol abuse, and there's a lot of people who are also tired of their close ones struggling. So perhaps just again.
081-2642-161.
Okay. Mm. Okay. And the email?
Email address is sobermindsnamibia24@gmail.com.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. And when people do reach out, what are some of the basics of their details? What are some of the basic knowledge that you usually want to find out?
Whenever a person is reaching out, we would also like to know about the condition, in what state. We would like to know about the story. How does this person drink?
Yeah.
Or how does this person consume? Is it daily, non-stop? Or does he also do crazy things and so on?
Mm-hmm.
When you check, is it alcohol or maybe there is mental issues also?
Mm-hmm.
It was also brought by alcohol also. Maybe we need to consult. We need to find out, to consult a psychologist or
a social worker.
Mm-hmm. Or we need doctors to interfere.
Mm.
Or maybe this person just needs some prayers. We can refer to some church.
Mm.
Yes.
Mm.
Or maybe deliverance.
Mm.
Mm.
There's a lot that goes in there, hey?
Mm.
Excuse me. It's for some really different aspects, mental issues and... But yeah, there's a lot that goes in there. But I believe if we're going to make Namibian society better, or any society in general, it starts with us as well, really playing our role and playing our part. But yeah. Mm-hmm. But what's your message now to those who have their loved ones who are addicted to alcohol and want them to break free from it? What sort of environment should they create for them? Emilia earlier said saying bad words will just push them further away. What is the posture? What should be perhaps the posture of family members? My husband is an alcoholic, or my son is an alcoholic, God forbid. Or, you know, those type of things. A close family member who's addicted to alcohol. How should the family behave towards them?
Yeah, first of all, I would just like to let people know that it is, with Sober Minds Namibia, we aim to have a certain number of people that will be there, that these people, they recover their life because of Sober Minds Namibia.
Mm.
I would say people must also reach out to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If not one or two, we will help.
Okay.
Someone might take what we are giving, what service we are giving.
Yeah.
Either we talk to them, Either we refer to them, someone will recover. Yeah. I'm sure.
I'm certain.
Yeah, and also about the families, they must not leave our loved one, their loved ones, just to suffer. They must try their best. Talk to them. Tell them that we are having this sober mind in Namibia. Tell them that we can take you to counseling.
Yeah.
We must not leave our family members just to drown in alcohol, in addiction.
Nonetheless, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. This is on the, I just said on the radar. This is Life Lessons. Please stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
Lipura nenge leo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doiri nawa. Mune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamweri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM. The eye.
Talking softly. Listen, my child. Make your mind stay.
Some will smile but change the game. That is why Nyakuchela stand strong. Charles Ifundisele choose a career, stay on track. Once time goes, it won't come back. Books today, success tomorrow. Push through pain, defeat the sorrow. Mama won't stay forever. Life moves like the weather. So rise and be clever. Make your life better. Hey, my child, me a good time. Please focus now while I'm with you. Study hard, build your future. Stand alone, make your own truth. Hey, my child, little mama. Work for your dreams, don't look back. One day you'll shine so bright. Mama smile.
And we are back. Of course, this has been Life Lessons. And of course, this also brings us to the end of our beautiful conversation. I say beautiful because, hey, where there is positivity, we learn from it. And that's what Sober Minds brought for us today. And Mr. Jeremiah, your last words and encouragement to those out there wanting to be free from alcohol addiction.
Yeah, my last word is that whenever you find out that you are in a critical situation, try to find help. It's called humility. It's when you accept that this time I need help. Try to find help while it's early. Yeah. Try to reach out to churches. Yeah. You need to restore yourself. Find help. Help will not come to you unless you search for it.
Nice.
Don't drown.
Eh?
Drown.
Okay.
Yeah.
Emilia. The beautiful young lady. Yes. I hope you guys could see her. I wish you guys could see.
It takes self-discipline to decide what you want to do with your life, and don't let somebody ruin it for you, and don't let yourself ruin it as well. It's like, you know, we are young, we are old. Sorry for the adults. And you want to see your kids grow, and you yourself, you want to make your parents proud. So I think you should just take a step, a leap of faith, and say, like, okay, today I've decided I'm going to put that cup away. Let me take water instead. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's all I have to say.
Nice. And my co-host, your last words?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just to appeal to, number one, let me make an appeal to business, to the business community, to business people out there, so that they can just reach out to Sober Minds Namibia and give any sponsorship, you know, because it takes a lot out of the person who is just a civil servant, who just has a job, for them to run around for all the activities of Sober Minds, to need data for their phone, to, you know, be able to come to a studio like this and be able to talk to the people, to the audience, to our listeners here. So all the business community, if you can find it in your hearts, you know, give a sponsorship of sorts, you know, give financial contributions,
to
Sober Minds Namibia, so that they can continue to do well, and they can grow to become a force to reckon with. Because I know businesses, you know, will not close down because alcohol will always be there, mm-hmm. you know. But if you can do this to help a person who will lose their job or who will lose a pregnancy because of alcohol, because we have women who lose children because of alcohol and things like that. So that is the first appeal. The second appeal is it just goes to young people to say, not everything that looks cool or that people say is cool is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, some things are not as cool as they think. People think they are. You know, so don't bow to peer pressure, and always pick good examples. There are people out there who are good examples that you can pick. And they can, you know, they can shape and remodel your life. So don't always follow just what is cool, what is trending. It's alcohol, it's vaping, it's all these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and to our parents out there, look after your children. You know, give them good advice, heartly advice, motherly, fatherly advice, unclely advice, if there's something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just continue to build a great nation that is far from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all I can say for now.
Nice. And from me, the Alpha Happy Juju, I think everything has been properly said already. I think for now, I would just say, you know what, stay safe out there. And like the Jeremiah said, don't drown. Don't be there alone. There's people out there who can actually give you the help that you need. Nonetheless, from me, Dafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye. It has been a wonderful Saturday evening. I'll see you again next time, next Saturday, same time, same place, for another conversation right here on Eagle FM on Life Lessons. Good night, and stay safe, and stay productive. Goodbye.
You're the baby. Mama talking softly. Listen, my child.
Mama, I'm telling you, just calm down. She's
you're the baby. Mama talking softly. Listen, my child. Life moves like the weather. So